slaves to righteousness. Today's text comes from Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. Please rise for the reading of the Word of God. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obey the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves, just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness. So now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Father in heaven, we come before you and we pray for illumination. That is, Father, that you would send forth your Holy Spirit to illumine our hearts, to increase our understanding of the message of this word. And this we ask and we pray in Jesus' name and in Jesus' name alone. And all the congregation would say, Amen. Now, last week, I preached from, well, I should say 2 weeks ago, I preached from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. The title of this message was Dead to Sin, Alive to God. I showed that in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, describes a few key aspects of the conversion experience of every Christian, because the Lord Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to us. We saw that because the Lord Jesus has sent his Holy Spirit to Christians, in Christ Jesus, we have renewed spirits. The result is that in Christ, we have a greater desire to love the Lord our God. Lastly, in him, we have become extremely thankful for all the things. We have become extremely thankful for all things. Therefore, we are in a state of supreme blessedness in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, today, the title of our message is Slaves to Righteousness. Slaves to Righteousness. Today, I lay before you that Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, describes Christians as slaves to righteousness. Because we have been transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, how can we fully understand all this? Well, we can start by looking at the following 3 points. Point number one, because we have been transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus, we desire holiness. Point number two, because we have been transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus, we desire the full blessing of our Lord Jesus. And lastly, point number three, because we have been transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus, we desire to fully obey our Lord Jesus. Now, if you recall, last week I covered the background, some background information pertaining to our text. I spoke about the occasion of this letter. I spoke about the author of this letter. And I gave you the who, what, where, why, when, and how of this message. Basically, who was writing this message? I gave you what is Romans? What is the book of Romans? What is it all about? And also, I spoke about when was this letter written, which we discovered was in the year 58 AD. And we talked a little bit about what is a slave. And I also mentioned that slavery to many of us, especially in the black community, oftentimes we get the picture or the picture that comes to our mind we think of is those who were in slavery to in the early part of our nation, or the historical portion of our nation. Historically, we think about slavery back in the year 17th, 18th century, up, all the way up into the 19th century, as a matter of fact. Well, I should say early 19th century and 18th century. So 18th to the 19th century, we think about slavery. Now, we learn how to connect this with our message, because slaves is used, especially by Paul, to refer to someone who belongs to another individual. It refers to someone who belongs to another individual. And oftentimes, this individual that they belong to, and especially back in the first century AD, in this particular region, the Roman Empire, slaves, the slave owners, had the power of life and death over their slaves. They had the power of life and death. And because they had the power of life and death over these individuals, we see that in so many ways, we too, or we can see in so many ways that we too are slaves, depending on, and as far as how we're slaves, it depends on who we're slaves to. I should say it depends on whom we are, to whom we are slaves to. And so, let me start off by saying this. We, at one time, were slaves to sin. We, at one time, were slaves to sin. How were we slaves to sin at one time? Well, according to the Bible, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not only that, we are dead in our sins and our trespasses. So, as you can understand, as I hope you understand up to this point, sin has power. Sin has authority over those whom it belongs to. I should say over those whom belong to it, belong to sin. Now, I'm trying to make this as simple as possible, so please bear with me. Understand that because we were at one time sinners, I should say, not sinners, one time sinners, but we were slaves to sin. We were up under the authority of sin. And because we were under the authority of sin, we had no power to do what God has called and demands that we all should be. And so what happened was, is that we were not able in any kind of way to respond to God. God was not willing as well to respond to us. And as a matter of fact, he saw us as a problem. So you need to understand that we naturally, we don't have a problem with God. As a matter of fact, we are so steeped in our sin that sin is part of our nature. It's just who we are. See, we sin because we're sinners by nature. By nature, we are prone to hating God and hating our neighbor. Listen, what I mean by this is that just as a cat by nature meows or do what cats normally do, whatever that may be, and that's many things, they do it by nature. A dog, it barks because by nature, that's what dogs normally do. They bark or howl. A pig loves to play in muddy, dirty, filth-filled habitations. They love that stuff. They don't mind laying in their own feces even. So, but that's what they do by nature. And, you know, you can bring a pig into your home. You could wash it up. You could clean it. You could even put perfume on it. But you let it back out into an area where it's mud and it's filthy and it is dirty. They'll go back out there and they'll do exactly what they were doing before. They're not going to stop doing it because you washed it up and you put perfume on it. It won't change it because it's part of its nature. So the same way with us, we're sinners by nature. And so because we're sinners by nature, God has a problem with us. And that's why Paul, especially in this book, in the book of Romans, talks about God's anger toward sinful humanity. God has a problem with sinful humanity. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, there are places where it's written that God hates sin. Not only does he hate sin, but he hates even the sinner. Contrary to a lot of us evangelical Christians, we need to understand that, you know what? Yes, God love is a God. He's a God of love, meaning that, you know, that's just what he is. And that, you know, that's the best way we can describe him, meaning that, you know, he is love. He loves us all just naturally. But he also has made it clear that he hates sin and he hates the sinner and that he has a problem with us and that he must, being that he's a just God, meaning that his justice requires that we be judged, that we be dealt with according to his plan, his eternal plan. And so now, what he has done is he has condemned us. He has declared in the scripture by the writers and by the prophets and all those who have gone before us. He has declared us sinful sinners and under judgment. That is condemnation. We have been judged as guilty before him. And Adam, especially beginning with Adam. So beginning with Adam and all of Adam's descendants, we are sinners. We've been declared sinners by God. And so the only way that can change, God would have to declare us righteous, that is justified by him. And so, now, God has determined that he would do this. He will do this. And he has done this. But it has come with a price. And that price was the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you need to understand that it was Jesus, our Lord Jesus, who died on a cross. On that cross, his blood was shed because of you, because of me. That is because of us. And because his blood was shed, that was he died, God accepted his offering. See, Jesus was sinless in every way. And we see that especially by the New Testament writers. He had no sin and he did nothing wrong, deserving of the punishment that he received on that cross. But it was the Father's plan. It was part of the Father's plan and purpose that the Son would die for his people. That's right, that he would die for his people. God the Father has chosen from eternity a people unto himself. A people that he would save for himself out of sinful humanity. And we, those who are in Christ Jesus, united in Christ Jesus, believe this. And we receive this by faith. Faith is the instrument which receives the blessings of God. We trust with all our heart that this is true. But we trust even that, even our faith is a gift. So all that we are, all that we shall be, is by the gift of God. It's by the mercies of God. It's out of his love for the Son and his people whom he have given to the Son. Jesus himself said, no one comes unto God the Father except for those who have been called by God the Father. We know Jesus because we have been called by God the Father, and we have been informed that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the Son of God. Are you with me this morning? You need to understand this. You need to understand that all that we have, it is a gift from God. And that's why I declare to you this morning that because we have been transformed, that is, we have been changed into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we desire holiness. We want to be whole. We want to be whole just like Jesus is whole. We want to be not under the control of sin, a slave to sin, that is a slave to Satan, the enemy. We don't want to be up under his control, up under his authority, that is separated from God, and we do our own thing forevermore, separated from God. We don't want that. We want to be brought back into a right relationship with God the Father. And we know, we trust that we can only do this through the Son. This is why we desire holiness. We desire holiness because we have been changed into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is, that our nature has been changed. And because our nature has been changed, naturally, now, we desire the holiness which belongs to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We desire his righteousness. We desire to be clothed in his righteousness because we trust and we believe, we know without a shadow of a doubt that our righteousness is dirty, filthy, rotten rags, as it were. And so we know that there is no way to get right with God except through the Son. And that's why we desire. That is, we want so badly. We thirst. It's like it is if we thirst for it. I don't know if you've ever been truly thirsty. Have you ever been really truly thirsty to a point of where you're even willing to drink out of, say, for example, a toilet? Well, I tell you what, if you ever get to a point where you are truly thirsty, you will drink out of the toilet. You will drink that water out of a toilet. Trust me, because the pain and the desire is it will be so strong to quench that thirst that you'll be willing to do that. And see, listen, for those who are in Christ Jesus, we thirst for righteousness. We thirst for holiness. Do you thirst for holiness this morning? I hope so, because if you don't, then I pray and I want to so badly, I want to exhort you to pray to God. I should say encourage you to pray to God and ask for this thirst. To ask for it. To hunger for it. To pray sincerely for righteousness. The righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's what Paul is basically saying here. We're slaves to righteousness, meaning that we belong to the Son. We belong to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have been bought with the price of His precious blood. And so this is what I mean by the statement, because we have been transformed. That is, because we have been changed. That is, we're no longer what we used to be. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. And because we're new creations in Christ Jesus, we desire, that is, with the heart, with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, we desire holiness. And one day, and it won't be long, because remember, we're just pilgrims passing through. Remember that. We're pilgrims passing through, and we're, as it were, looking forward. We're looking forward. We're looking forward to what? We're looking forward to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because we know that in that day, not only will we desire Him with our mind, with our soul, and with all our strength, but one day, and with our mind, with our soul, because that's all part of who we are, you know, we're body and soul, right? We're dichotomous creatures. That's two parts. We are body and soul. So in our soul, the seat of our mind, that's where our mind is at, our heart, we desire Him right now. Our soul has been transformed because the Holy Spirit has come upon us. He's working with us. He is, as it were, wooing us to the Father. One day when the Lord Jesus returns, we're going to love Him with all our strength. That is, with our body as well. So we're going to be lifting up holy hands and eternal bodies. We're going to be in the presence of the Lord forever. That's the good news. And that's what we, each day, we must be thinking about. We must be thinking about, you know what? We're here. Yes, we're here now. But this is only temporary. We look forward to the new heavens, a new earth, a new body. Just as we have received the new spirit, the new inner man. And that's what I mean by being transformed. It has been changed into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that we, like our Lord, we seek to do the will of the Father. Not my will be done, but thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Let it be done here on earth. Amen. All right. So this is very important, and I hope that you are blessed. You have been blessed by this message. So please let us remember that because we have been transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus, we desire by faith, I should put that in there. I didn't put that in there earlier, but I'm going to put it in there because I think it fits well. It's by faith. It's a trusting with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. That is your whole entire being as well, with all your strength. We desire holiness. Amen. All right. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for this message. Father, we pray as always that we will not only be hearers of your word, but doers as well. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen.